listeners, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Podcast. I'm your host, Andy, and Steven is once again absent. It's just kids and that daytime distance learning stuff. It's a bit of pain in my ass lately, but I survive. I chug on. And joining us this week is, a special one, I feel. It's going to be a really special one, is Dark Cookie, creator of Summertime Saga, an adult-oriented, high-quality dating sim game, which is currently in development and funded wholly by Patreon backers. Dark Cookie, welcome to the show. How you doing, man?
I'm good, and yeah, thanks for having me on. All right, and as you were saying about your co-host with the kids and all that, I totally relate. So, yeah.
Oh, you too?
Yeah.
People like
Yeah, every day is just, you know, roll the dice and things. Sometimes things get canceled. Sometimes, you know, got to go to a doctor's appointment.
Exactly. Some like don't show up sometimes. Like, listen, we'll get there when we get there.
Yeah, it's structured chaos.
They'll learn when we feel like they have to learn. All right.
Yeah, that's fine. Roll with the punches, you know?
For those of us, those of you who are new to the podcast, this is the world's number one indie developer interview podcast, probably. But we are for sure number 15 in New Zealand. That is an established fact that we just learned recently.
That's great. That's good. Good demographics, you know?
So every person in the industry that's either a developer, a programmer, or a maker of a sexy-ass game, this is their platform to tell their story. So Dark Cookie.
Yeah.
Should I call you Dark? Should I call you Cookie?
You can call me DC. A lot of people call me DC, which is DC. Fine. Yeah.
Love it. What kind of cookie would you be? I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but I feel like that's what I want to ask you. You like? Do you feel like you're more like hard on the outside, moist in the middle?
Listen. A right cookie is just, it has to be, it's you know, it's not so much the recipe, you know? A lot of cookies all have different recipes. It's not about the recipe so much. It's the cooking, you know? Mm. It has to be cooked just right, and it has to be fresh, you know? That's what makes the cookie as great as it can be. You know what I mean? Every cookie has potential, right? It doesn't matter what the ingredients are, the taste and all that. If it's done right and it's fresh, it's going to be a great cookie. So I'm the perfectly cooked cookie. Just a little crispy on the outside, a little mellow in the middle, you know? And when you bite it, it's fresh and nice and warm. That's the cookie I want to be, you know?
You know, I really hope that you have no major controversies in your career, because I can see the headlines now. That's the way the cookie crumbles. It's going to be a thing.
Maybe that's what I should say.
Be scandal free. Maybe don't be. Just for
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I recently got into a lot of Chips Ahoy cookies. This is a huge tangent, but whatever, go with it. All these flavors they have. I was thinking like these red velvet cookies, these like white chocolate macadamia chunk cookies. And they had one, it was like a Chips Ahoy brownie filled cookie.
Yeah.
I was like, interesting. It's a brownie center with a cookie outside. How bad could this be? It sounds like a good idea. That thing tasted like ass. It had no flavor whatsoever.
Yeah, I think I think just regular chocolate chip cookies are the way to go, you know, in general, you know, that's what I like.
Are you a soft bake guy or just a crunchy guy that you can dip in milk?
Like I said, just a little crunchy on the outside, but it's still got to be mellow in the middle. You know, it's got to be smooth, you know?
All right, DC, let's get into you and your game. Sure. I am very new to the whole loot gaming scene. I just popped my cherry with Midnight Castle Succubus about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
We actually spoke to the founder of Critical Bliss on this show not too long ago. And it was like the most fascinating thing in my entire life, like this whole subculture of lewd, sexy games that are actually entertaining and really good gameplay wise. I'm taken aback by that.
Yeah, it's a little, it's definitely something that's popular, but it's not spoken of. It's kind of a strange thing. And I was just as surprised as you when I started. So I can relate, definitely. Yeah.
So let's start there. What made you say to yourself, I'm gonna make a lewd game one day.
I wasn't. That's the thing.
Let's get to that journey. I did
not say that. It wasn't the case at all. It was a strange story, and I've told it a few times on because I stream every day, so I show my work and all that. And a lot of people ask me that question. I actually have answered that many times, but it always boils down to I didn't plan on doing an adult game at all. I just was looking for an engine that was free where I could develop a visual novel. And it had to be, it was more like an actual physical visual novel that you would, you know, get at a bookstore, like a lot of writing. Once in a while, there's like a nice illustrated picture. And I was looking at doing maybe like something like fantasy oriented, but I was learning how to code Python on the RenPy engine, which is a free engine to do like 2D, you know, visual novels. And at the time I had never played an adult game. I mean, I played Grand Theft Auto where there's like strippers and, you know,
sure.
That's like everybody's played some Jason. Kind of
close yeah, enough. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Which is adult themed, you know, that kind of stuff. But I didn't know that there was such a big, demand or player base for actual adult game, you know, when we're thinking of adult, you know, pornographic and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know anything about that. What I wanted to do was I had a bunch of ideas for illustrated novels for a long time that I just wanted to do, but I realized I wanted to have one that was interactive on mobile and I could have it as a game almost, you know, where there's like maybe the illustrations moved and all that kind of stuff. And there's like a sequencing to it, you know, make it a little bit more dynamic, you know? So I wanted to like make a simple game that was really like a story and a visual novel and all that kind of stuff. So RenPy was the engine that I chose because it seemed really user-friendly. You know, it was easy to learn and implement, and I could, you know, whip something out really quickly. But I suck at code. You know, I'm not good, right? I'm terrible. which is, you know, the case for a lot of artists. You know, usually you're a good artist, you want to make a game, but you suck at coding, so you got to learn it or find someone to do it for you. But
right.
It was just a visual novel, so I just wanted to do it myself because I was like, you know what, I don't really need to get, you know, it's a simple software, you know, I'm code base, I can, you know, handle it, you know. So I wanted to learn Python. So I pick, you know, RenPy engine, I start learning, I'm terrible, I'm struggling. So I go on their forum and I find other people who are also starting to learn and like, they have like a bunch of documents on how to do it. So I started learning more and more. And I remember at the time I was on Skype. And I had like I eventually got in touch with like six or, you know, a dozen creators who were also learning RenPy engine and doing their own thing. And some of them were like just trying to create plugins for the engine. They were trying to like just experiment with it. So at the time I was getting help from a few people on how to get through it and how to start learning and creating a foundation for my visual novel. But they were saying, though, before you do, you know, like you hear that a lot, before you start doing your big project, start with something small, test, you know, learn. And then when you're comfortable, then start working on your big project, you know? Mm-hmm. So at the time I was talking to two or three guys more than the others, and they were helping me, figure out how to code my, you know, and learn. And, I started doing like a test, you know, I was just doing like something for fun, right? Just anything. Just try to put a character on there with an image and a lot of text and all that. And I remember asking one of the guys, I'm like, what should I put, you know, do for a test, you know? And they're like, oh, just put like a cute girl like on the beach or something, right? Like something silly like that, right? So I created Roxy, which is one of the characters in my game currently, which is like a cute blonde girl in a bikini. And she was supposed to be on the beach and all that. And that's why actually she's on the logo of the game, because the logo of the game and the name Summertime Saga was just a splash screen for my test that I did. It was a test for just running a character and some dialogue just when I was starting to learn how to code the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't even a game. It was more like just a visual novel, but a test on Python, right? With the RenPy engine. So I created this logo, which was a splash screen to load the engine. And then I had Roxy, which is some generic girl character, a cute girl in a bikini on the beach. And she was supposed to say something silly. And that was the end of my test, right?
I'll put a sex on the beach.
But turns out all the people that I was talking to at the time, they were like, oh, you're really good. You know, doing characters. Oh, this is great. This looks awesome. You know, the background looks amazing. The logo is amazing. Why don't you, you know, and then it kind of started you know, people that were, you know, helping me really liked what I was doing, you know? So they were like, oh, that's really cool. You know, you should have the player be actual characters that a player that interacts with this character instead of being just this character that talks. Right. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, I mean, I could create like some goofy looking dude, you know? So I created the main character of some of that saga just to kind of interact with this character. And then it just snowballed. Like people were just like, well, add this, you know, why don't you, okay. So if there's a beach, why don't you create like a little location, you know, where you can click the character or something. I'm like, okay. So I do that. Why don't you create a map where you have a home? And then, you know, so there's different locations that you could interact with. And then you're going to learn how to code this. And that will be useful later on if you want to do a different project. Blah, blah. Okay. So I do that. Well, you're going to need an interface and maybe a menu because you need to learn how to, you know, maybe launch your different chapters of your visual novel. So blah, blah, blah. So why don't you create a menu? I create a menu. So it kind of like went like that for a while until somehow, I think I was showing my tests amongst different groups in the forum at, you know, on RenPy, and people started picking up on, you know, this was kind of cool. Like the art is neat. The interface is neat. It's kind of funny. It's quirky, blah, blah, blah. So eventually it just kind of picked up that people wanted more sexy stuff, right?
Naturally.
And I was like, you know, I mean, at the time I didn't really want to continue working on the project because I was like, well, I'm kind of done with this. Like, I don't really care so much about 60 girls on the beach. Like, it's really not what I wanted to create, you know, but people liked it and people thought it was hilarious. And I was like, well, I guess there's still a lot that I can learn with the engine. So I just kind of trucked along, you know,
but it's amazing how like you hear about developers who will go to like a game jam and have a really simple idea that they say, you know, this seems cool. I can build on this.
Yeah.
But you're just like, all right, I got to test some shit, put my coding skills. Like, what do I know? What can I do? What are my limitations? Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of like, well, just add this and then this, and it just builds. And you're like,
yeah,
this was supposed to be to help me make my actual project, to become the project.
Yeah, it was. And the funny thing is, like, as I created more and more with this little project, which was a test, really, the more people wanted things for it, because I guess people felt the potential right from the get-go, because I was always kind of surprised that people wanted more, you know? I was really expecting people to be like, huh, all right, that's cool, all right, you know, and that was it, you know? Like, okay, let's make something real now, you know?
Right.
But people, I guess, there's a charm to what I created for the test, you know, like sometimes saga has charm, like it's a charming story. Well, it eventually became a charming story. Cause at first there was no story, you know,
right.
I got to a point cause
it was just sex.
Well, it was just a sexy girl, you know? And here's what happened at some point. Okay. People started coming to me and I guess people started sharing what I was making. Mm-hmm. You know, like on online somehow, people started sharing a lot, and people started coming to me asking for where the project was going, you know, like, what are you going to do next, you know, and all that. So they're starting to get like a following that I wasn't aware of. And people wanted me to start streaming and showing how I made the game, and people wanted to actually support the project. Mm-hmm. And that's when I discovered that there was actually a lot of projects similar to like visual novels, I guess things that were, you know, small indie games like that, that were supported online. And that's when I discovered, you know, people were like, oh, why don't you put it on Patreon? Why don't you put it on this? Why don't you create a server on Discord? Why don't you create all this stuff? So at that point is when I started learning, like you were saying earlier, that, you know, you were surprised that there was this big underground, you know, demand for, you know, adult games and visual novels and all that kind of stuff. That's when I discovered it too. You know, I was kind of like, wow, I mean, why there's so many people that care about this? Some people that want more, some people want this, you know? So by the time I actually put the project on Patreon and I started streaming every day, I was actually into about 10 or 12 different iterations of the game. Like it was, because on Patreon, I put 0.01 as like the first, you know, update, I guess the first state of the game, you
right
know, the first beta. But it was actually like 10-12 different versions, because it wasn't the girl in the beach anymore. Now by that time there was like a map, there was like a bunch of locations you could go to, there's like, you know, like college, there's the home, there's the, you know, all sorts of things that people wanted me to add. And so, and I was still coding, doing all the art, all the dialogue, everything at that point, you know. So that's when I put it on Patreon. And I remember the first 2 weeks that it was on Patreon, right? I think there was no one supported the project, right? Mm-hmm. Because at that point, it was just more like a close circle of people who were making creative minds that were making stuff with RentBuy. You know, people on RentBuy forums and all that, that knew about my project and they really liked it. But it wasn't really out there, you know? So I put it on Patreon, but there was not a lot of, you know, attraction. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, I put it there just for fun. And, you know, if it doesn't work, I don't care. You know,
yeah, I guess you thought if I make a few bucks out of the Patreon,
yeah,
it's fine. I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, the thing at the time I was doing freelance, you know, I was still freelancing in the game industry. So I was still doing work on different projects, you know, cause I had been working in the game industry for almost 10 years at the time. So I had been working and I was still doing freelance. I used to work in studio, but then I stopped that cause I wanted to stay home more and, you know, cause we wanted to have kids and all that. So I was freelancing, working on different, like, you know, some was like visual development for movies. Some was like video game stuff. So I was still doing art and concept art for all sorts of projects. Mm-hmm. So I didn't really care if sometimes I got picked up or not. I was just putting it there because people were like, oh, dude, you should totally do it. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. Let's do it, you know? So after 2 weeks.
You're very agreeable, by the way. Very agreeable. It's like, add this, do this. Yeah, sure, sure. Whatever you guys want, I'll do it.
Well, obviously there was still, I still kind of vetted what was good ideas or not, you know, and I still added some of my own, you know, ideas. Okay, well, I think I should do this with this if I wanted this to work properly, you know?
Right.
But so after 2 weeks, I'm like, okay, this is not working. You know, nobody gives a shit about this. So I'm like, I think it's time to like wrap it up, you know? But then one guy, subscribed or whatever, you know, became a Patreon, supported my project, right? Yeah. The first guy, you know, and I messaged him like, oh, dude, that's great. Like, how did you hear about this project, right? He's like, oh, it's actually, I think he replied something like, oh, it's making its rounds right now on the internet, you know, like on this place and people really like it. And I'm like, oh, that's cool, man. That's awesome, right? And overnight, the next day, there's like 100 people on Patreon that were supporting me. And then it just snowballed from there. Like it just really snowballed. It went from when I was streaming and doing work on the project from like 5 people watching to like 30, you know? And then just the week after that, there was like 200 and, you know, or 500 people supporting the project. And then, so it just skyrocketed from that point on. And just right as I was going to pull it off, you know, I was just going to, all right, this is not working out. Boom. It just exploded. Right. And at that point, the next month after that is when the project really picked up. There was like 1,000 or more people supporting the project on Patreon. And then I realized, okay, somehow this fucking thing, if pardon my French, this fucking thing is big somehow. Like, I don't understand why, I don't understand how, but it's big. And I think looking back, the reason why it got big is probably the nature of the project.
Right.
It's very open-ended. It's just a world that's fun. All the characters are interesting. You know, it's quirky, but it's also sexy, and there's a lot of freedom, you know, and people just enjoyed the fact that I think I was really open to adding a lot of new things to it, you know, and I think I was very agreeable with, and people were like, you know, like my feedback, and I liked their feedback, and I was, you know, streaming every day, and I was showing people how I was doing it. I think people just enjoy that, you know, and they just enjoy the potential of the project. So
what was that like for you seeing like,
it was
now,
weird.
Cause now I think you're up to like, I think nearly $70,000 a month on your Patreon. That's totally insane.
Yeah. It's insane. Yeah.
That's like a salary.
Yeah. Yeah. A good salary. Yeah.
Yeah. What does that do in terms of the pressure? It's like, okay, shit, this has to be like a really good fucking game now. Like people give me like all this money
to make this game. Yeah. Well, it's sort of what happened. It progressed into that at some point. Mm-hmm. Because I remember because I stopped coding at around 0.06, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's when I brought someone on the project who was one of the original guys that was helping me learn the engine. Mm-hmm. So back when I was just starting, one of the guys who was helping me learn, I asked him, dude, I'll pay you some money. You know, you join my project and you just start coding, you know, the new features I want to add in. Cause I suck. I'm not going to be able to, and I can focus on writing art and, you know, figure out what the world's going to be, because I have like thousands of people asking me for more right now. I don't know why, but they're asking for more. So I got to do this, you know, like, yeah, this is kind of cool and it's picking up, like, might as well just give it a shot, you know? So that's when I started bringing people in, is around 0.06 when I stopped coding. Cause I was like, it took me like a week to do one mini game when an actual competent person could do it in like a day, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it started, you know, picking up like crazy, and the more I put into the game, the more people wanted sex theme stuff. That's the big thing. That was the thing that really drove the project, is that the more I made this game, the more people wanted adult content. And it was surprising to me. And it was like, you sure you guys don't want like an actual, you know, like.
Like, I could tell you a nice, well-rounded story, like, yeah, with emotional themes and deep, yeah, character development. No, I want anal. Give us, yeah, more anal.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though. I think it's half and half. A lot of people, right, appreciated Summer Time Saga for having an actual story, mm-hmm, and having interesting characters, but also having the potential of having very sexy stuff and boobs and all that. You know, it was a mix, because I think a lot of the people that actually supported the project and cared about the project and really wanted for it to like come to fruition are people who wanted more the story than anything. You know, because the story sells the sex more than the sex, mm-hmm, sells the story, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you have an engaging characters and a fun story and a compelling story and a good build up, it will make the sex a lot more interesting and rewarding, you know what I mean? Than if you have just really great sex animation but a shitty story, it's kind of like, well, I don't really care so much about the character, you know?
Right. It just feels cheap, because it's, yeah, like, okay, you're just there for the gimmick of the sex aspect. Like, yeah, you're just selling titties and boobs and erect penises. Yeah. Like, that can only take you so far. But
yeah,
looking at your main character, I can see a young me in him.
Yeah.
And what's funny is, like, even as a gay man, I love this content so much. So yeah, it transcends, like,
yeah,
I mean, all sexuality and stuff like that. But again, to your point,
everything in the game, like in terms of like archetypes, in terms of characters, mm-hmm, in terms of different feelings between different characters, connection. And I think honestly, it is the only thing that drives me to finish this project, is the fact that I can actually add fun stories to it, you know, and actually make it an interesting game. It's not so much that I enjoy drawing boobs. I had never drawn, you know, lewd content before this project. Like, when I was working in the industry, I was working, you know, I was working on, you know, character designs and just, you know, regular stuff you would see in a video game, you know. I wasn't really
used years of repression in this country. You hold, yeah, all those sexual instincts back. It's like, you can't think about those thoughts.
Yeah, boobs are evil. So
you can't have those thoughts.
Yeah. So so it was new for me too. You know, the whole experience was new for me. You know, the whole Patreon was new to me. I didn't understand how it worked at first. I didn't know that people played adult games that much on the internet. Like, I didn't even know there was adult games. I was like, whoa, that's crazy, you know? I didn't know. There's a lot of things that I was new to. I didn't stream before, but that was my first time streaming. Everything about it was new, you know? So it was really, it was overwhelming. It was, but it was fun. And the big thing about me is that I felt like I could always go back to making the projects that I had planned and continue freelancing in my career. So I didn't have the pressure or the, I don't know how to say it, but it's like, I didn't care if it failed. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have that, like, I didn't have that worry. So I was just, guns out, let's go, you know, because I don't, right, care if, you know, I was just, let's do it, you know, I don't care if people support it or not, it's great that they do, but let's just keep going with this and see where it goes, you know. And I saw the potential eventually, you know. I was like, okay, you know, maybe people are right, maybe this could be something great. And that's when we started adding really compelling stories. That's when it exploded even more, you know. Because at first there was not that much of a story, you know. There was a little bit of a story. There's, you know, it's a, for those who haven't played the game, it's a little bit, you're the main character, protagonist, and you, there's some tragedy happening in your life, and you have to keep going and solve some of those things, overcome some of those things. But as you do that, you meet a variety of characters throughout a whole town where they all branch out and have their own little stories. And sometimes they cross over to other stories. Sometimes they help you in other stories. And it just kind of, it's about life of a young man who goes through all these emotions. And you meet, you know, all sorts of people, all sorts of character types. And as you go through them, you solve some, you overcome some, and there's going to be a few main branch of main plots that you can finish. And that's it. That's essentially Summertime Saga. But the, when we started adding all those more compelling stories, you know, things that had a little bit more emotions to them, a little bit more purpose to them, that's really when the game went from like 1,000 people supporting the project to like 20,000 people supporting the project. Jesus, you know, it really exploded. Yeah, it was like crazy, you know. And I remember you could put goals on Patreon. Like, I don't know if anyone's familiar with that, but yeah, you can put like goals like, oh, if I reach this amount of support, I'm going to do this. Or no. And I remember there's something like, I remember people like, oh, add more goals. Cause I never added goals. Cause I suck. Honestly, I was just focusing on the art, and
it's like you're talking about Patreon, Discord, Street. These are all new systems to you. So it's like,
yeah,
I'm just trying to make my game, like, which I didn't want to make initially.
Well, it's like, it took me a long time to start taking it seriously.
Right.
You know? And I remember I was like putting goals, and I'm like, oh, there's no way I'm ever going to reach a $10,000 goal. So I'm just going to put something ridiculous there, because I don't really think it's ever going to get there. And like 2 weeks later, it was like 10,000. And I was like, ah, okay. 15,000. I don't know. Let's put this goal, you know? And then the week after, it was like, boom, 15,000. I was like, oh shit, you know? So I kept having to like fix that. So I was had to like put more and more and more. And it was crazy. It was really surreal. It was really strange, you know? But I was like, whatever, let's keep going, you know? And then eventually added more people to the team. Had someone to help me with posing, which is like basically taking the art. It's like a technical artist that you would call in the industry. I call it posing because it's really more posing than technical artist, but it's taking the art, lining it up with all the dialogue and all the lines, and making sure that it flow properly. It flows properly in the scenes, right? And what's presented to the viewer right on screen. So I had to get someone that helps with that. At some point, I finally got someone to help me with dialogue and actually do all the dialogue, all the writing, so I could just focus on the art and all the animations and all that. And nowadays, I actually also have a freelancer that helps me with animating too. So I just do the art for the animation and the game, and then I give the art to the guy, and he animates it. So eventually I was able to get a relatively decent sized team to work on this project with me, you know? So now it's like, yeah, we do big updates with tons of animation, tons of content, tons of stories, every update, every 3-4 months we add an update, boom, you know, all this new things are added to the game. And here we are now, you know, 3 years later, it's like super huge, super popular. It's great. You know, people love it. We add new stories every time. We have a bunch of stuff planned. People are excited. I stream every day. Lots of people tune in. It's crazy, you know, but fortunate. I feel like I'm fortunate. And I don't feel bad that I wasn't able to work on my original project. It's fine, because I actually like Summertime Saga now, working on it, because we kind of made it something interesting, you know. Of course, the first prototype was just some fucking, you know, some generic character talking on screen with nothing, no content, no substance, right? But as it got popular, I actually made it kind of like a fun, interesting story with like all sorts of interesting things happening to it, right? So now I really love actually working on this project, and it's a lot of fun, you know? And I see the potential of all the stories and all the gameplay, and when this game is going to be done. I don't know when it's, people always ask me, when is it going to be done? I don't know. It's huge, massive.
Right? Yeah, I feel like this is just like, it's going to go on forever.
It could go on forever.
Who could add so much to this?
Yeah,
like your fetish list, while it's pretty extensive, like it could probably double or quadruple in size by the time this thing is over.
Easily, yeah. Oh yeah, it's gonna be massive. Honestly, it's. I mean, I don't know how many characters we have right now. I don't know, but I think we have like 15,000 art assets right now in the game. And I think we're not even, we're like 40% on the game at best. So, I mean, it's going to be massive. Like by the end, it's going to be overwhelming. So, you know, people love it. People want more, 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 and more. So I'm going to keep adding more and more until this project is done. And when it's done, I'll move on and maybe go back to doing one of my original projects.
How do you find that balance between putting in the game what works and then pleasing this massive audience and just saying like, hey, add this, do this. I want this. Yeah. I want more. Yeah. Give us more butt sex. Give us more toys. Give us bigger titties. Yeah. Like how do you balance all that feedback into a game like
this? It's hard because everybody wants something different, you know? And it's, if a bunch of people want something that they like and they love and they're like so excited to add in the game, there's going to be some people that are not going to like it, right? Mm-hmm. And especially when it comes to sexuality and adult theme stuff, people take it very personal. It's weird, right?
Yeah.
But
I wonder why.
Yeah. And they shouldn't because, you know, especially in Summertime Saga where it's not like a, you know, an adult content that has only one thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And if you don't like that thing, too bad, you know? Summertime Saga has almost everything at this point, you know? So it's weird to me, you know, how people get really personal with that stuff, you know? And the most ridiculous things, you know, like pubic hair, you know, things like that, right?
Like putting in more pubic hair, less pubic hair?
Some people are like, oh man, like a lot of characters don't have a lot of pubic hair. Can you please? And I'm like, okay, maybe one character could have quite a bit of pubic hair, you know, make it more natural. And, you know, maybe it fits with this character. It fits with their kind of personality. You know, maybe they would have more of that. So I add more of that. And then I get a lot of people like, oh, why'd you add that? You know, it's like, oh my God, guys, you know. You know, 90% of the characters have zero pubic hair.
I can't even imagine you sitting up late at night debating whether your character, given their story and their background, do they seem like they have more or less pubic hair?
Yeah.
Like, how do you arrive at that? Yeah. That decision.
and that stuff is the stuff that I care the least about in the game. Like, I like more like fleshing out their story, making sure that, you know, the characters are interesting and they go through a lot of emotions. And, you know, there's like a story arc where there's like a conflict and conclusion. Like, I like making the world more alive. And like, that's the stuff that I really enjoy. Mm-hmm. But the fans are pretty, you know, they're pretty fanatic. Like, they take it at heart that, you know, the project goes in the way that they want it, you know. They obviously care a lot more about the things that I don't care about, which is like, you know, the size of boobs and, you know, you know, things like that, which I'm like, okay, all right, whatever, you know, guys.
Yeah. How often are you asked to make tits bigger? I'm just curious.
Every day.
I mean, Roxy's are huge.
They defy gravity. Yes.
Right. Her poor back.
They love it.
I can't even imagine.
They don't care. They don't care. Dude, nobody cares.
I guess that's a risk because now it's like this is a community game at this point. It's not just you. It's evolved past what your idea for it is. Now it's like there's all these opinions involved now. Mm-hmm. And there's so much noise to cut through. Mm-hmm. And it's like...
But I try not to worry too much, you know?
Oh, you shouldn't, because at the end of the day, you're making a quality project that people love and care about. It's like no matter who says what, you have so much support behind this. And I think it really it's a testament to how big of a shame this is on the industry, like sexy games as a whole. Like we need to stop acting like this isn't there anymore. Because every time there's like a new Mass Effect or a Dragon Age or Assassin's Creed, it's like, great, oh, I can do this. Awesome. Who can I fuck in this game?
Yeah.
How many people can I fuck in this game?
Yeah, it's super taboo. And
it's always there.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, because sexuality is like a huge part of human, you know, interactions.
Right. You know?
So, of course, people are going to want more of that. It's just, it's still seen as taboo, but I think it's slowly and surely going to open up. I think over time, for sure. You know, you look at games like, Grand Theft Auto has more sexuality every fucking release, you know? And... The Witcher, you know, the Witcher franchise has so much sexuality in it.
Right.
And people accepted it pretty well, you know. Like, I think if it's done in a certain way, it's accepted pretty well, you know. But it is still taboo, you know.
And I think even the game's media has a part to play, because to search for your game, like to not see coverage on a major outlet. It's like, well, how can you not take a game that makes $70,000 a month on Patreon not seriously? Like, that's a force to be reckoned with. That's that's something that's real and tangible that you can point to and say, hey, these kind of games garner attention and success, and you can't just ignore it forever.
Yeah. Because if some guy like me who had no idea that this was even a thing could make something big like this, like imagine a studio with a big backing with like 1,000 employees could make, you know?
Right.
Like, let's say like Rockstar wanted to make an adult game. I mean, it would fucking, it would rule the world. Like, it would be insane. You know what I mean? Like, if they actually made like an adult game that's like really well done, I mean, it would be fucking, you know, it'd be insane. Like, it'd be so huge. It'd be the thing, you know, of the year. Yeah,
if they went full on, like, because GTA is already teetering on the adult only.
Yeah, of course. But if they went all out, like, all let's out, make an adult game with sex and everything, whatever you want, with all the quality that our original AAA games have, I mean, it'd be huge.
Yeah, I mean, they were more than just GTA and Red Dead. They were also, like, Bully at some point and Manhunt. Like, they could do stuff like that again and just...
Yeah, but I think the problem is that publishing is not there yet, you know? That's why they wouldn't do it. The risk is too high.
Right. I really doubt 2K... would be like, oh yeah, we don't want all that profit from these sexy games. They'd be like, yeah, we'll gladly rake in all those sexy dollars.
Yeah, they would love it, of course, and it'd be huge and it'd make a fucking killing, right? But at the same time, I think the publishing is the issue. It's not so much a development. Like, of course you can make an adult game, you know, it's not hard. It's really, I think no one would back it up for publishing, you know. I mean, maybe some. I mean, of course, some would, but not everyone, you know?
Let me ask you, like, being that it's a huge deal on Patreon, were there any, like, hurdles or obstacles with making that much money and having, like, this sexy product? Like, because I know a while back they had shunned away, like, sex workers and stuff like that off the platform.
Yeah.
Hacked your product in any way?
Yeah, I did quite a bit because... Mm-hmm. Originally, it was intended to, like, there was what people wanted at first for the game was that when I started introducing like sex and all that, people wanted to be able to have sex with any character in the game, you know, including the character that represents the mother and all that kind of stuff, right?
Which was like
bordering the incest,
guys,
you know, all that kind of stuff, right? And right away, Patreon was
there's a line.
Patreon was like, no, can't do that, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're going to shut you down if you, you know. So that stuff couldn't make it in, you know. So they were pretty, no sexual violence, no rape and all that kind of stuff. And I am okay with none of this stuff, you know. I didn't plan on adding, you know, rape and all that. It's kind of like the kind of content. I didn't want to go that dark with the project, you know. It's kind of like an upbeat project. There's a lot of, like, fun stuff.
Incest doesn't really fit in a charming game like this.
Well, it could, you know, but... And it did at first, but, you know, Patreon is against it, you know, all that kind of stuff. So there were some hurdles. Yes, you know, so we have to be, and, you know, our Patreon page has to be more, you know, I didn't want to make it too graphic and all
raunchy,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, obviously I have to present the project as something a little bit more vanilla and a little bit more, you know, delicate.
It has to be as squeaky clean as you can possibly make a game like this.
Yeah. Just
for the optics of Patreon.
Yeah, for the optics. Yeah. So there's still that for sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean, but I think it's changing over time. I think over time things are going to change for sure. It has for the past, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. So, I mean, it's a gradual, I think it's just a normal progression in a direction where eventually adult games are going to be a lot more popular, I think, or a little bit more publicly accepted, you know?
What have you learned about yourself throughout this whole process, be it as a programmer, an artist, or as maybe you're a sexual deviant? Like, did you realize, hey, that's a fetish I kind of like now because I've been drawing it and researching it.
What I realized that I'm very vanilla. This is what I realized. I realized that I'm lame. I'm lame in terms of sex, because there's a lot of people out there that like crazy stuff, and I was like, I was not aware of a lot of these things, you know. So I think that's, if there's one thing that I changed or that I realized, is that for sure, you know. But no, nothing has changed that much. I mean, I'm still the same dark rookie from the beginning, where I just want to make something fun, a great game that people love, improve it, make it great, and then when I'm done, I'll work on a different project, something else, a second project.
So you're saying you never had a three-way with a nun pegging you in the back?
No,
the builder.
And
never
a friend my friend from school's mom. Yeah, no, never. I've never done that. So I don't know. Maybe in a different life.
Right. All right. Before we dive into rapid fire stuff, give us some more insights and what are future updates looking like for summertime? So what can people expect?
Right now we're finally finishing the main story. There's like two plots in the main story. There's finishing school and graduating. Mm-hmm. And then there's also finding out what happened to the father, right? So something happens to the father, he passes, and there's some dark circumstances surrounding the death of, and then you have to discover what happened and all that. So we're finishing that part of the story right now with this update. And then after that, we might do a tech update that improves a lot of technicalities about the game and the gameplay. Or we're going to move on to another main character, Rhonda, which has her whole, you know, she's the athletic girl at the school, and she has her whole big story about her. And so this is what's coming up next. But even after that, there's all sorts of big stories coming up. And all those characters are, you know, pretty important. A lot of people like them. So yeah, big updates, you know, lots of stories, lots of content, lots of lewd booby stuff as well, of course, you know, which is in high demand, but also a lot of big stories and a lot of like fun stuff. So yeah.
I got to ask you, what's the most absurd thing you've been asked to add to this game before you move on to rapid fire? I'm just curious.
Oh, I mean, I don't know.
I'm sure it's a lot to think about and to dwell on and to comb through.
Absurd. I mean, people want, when it comes to sex, people want a lot of weird things, you know, like, I don't know, man. I mean, people want all sorts of fucked up things, you know, the rapey stuff. A lot of some people want that. A lot of people want the bestiality stuff. A lot of people want, when it comes to sexuality, and especially with a theme like Summertime Saga, which is like an open world town where you interact with all, you know, a thousand different characters and stories. People will want anything, right? Because it's so open, right? So people will want to have everything with everything, you know? So the most absurd, I don't know. Some people want toe stuff. Like, well, can my character lick all the girls' toes? And I'm like, okay, but you know, maybe later I'll try to think if I can add that.
Were you ever like given a phrase like, I want this, and you're like, what the hell is that even mean? So you do a quick Google, on an FBI watch list for a hot second.
Yeah, sometimes a lot of people have like Japanese terms for the girl personalities, you know?
Right.
And I wasn't aware of this stuff because there's a whole hentai thing, which is like adult Japanese porn that's like anime, right? And manga.
Right.
Hentai. And I was never really aware of all that stuff. Like, I never really dwelled into that until I had to work on this project, you know? And then I discovered that a lot of people like this stuff. First of all, there's all these terms for, you know, how girl personalities when you tried to like court them, you know. So yeah, a lot of people I've learned a lot of new terms, of course, and a lot of them are interesting, a lot of them are strange, but a lot of them are like, I can see that, you know, it kind of makes sense that there's a term for that, you know.
You should post your search engine results as like Patreon updates, like here was like,
I don't know,
my last month searches is what you deviants made me look up on the internet.
Honestly, I don't have to look up for a lot of things because a lot of people just present it to me like on Discord or via email, or so I don't have to search a lot of things.
They'll describe it in graphic detail.
People push it on me, you know, trust me. I don't have to do a lot of searching. Okay.
It sounds a lot like rape. It's being pushed on you.
I know. See what I have to deal with.
All for your art, DC. Yeah. We do for our art.
Yeah.
All right. So rapid fire. We're going to learn a little bit more about you, what kind of person you are. I think I learned a lot about you, though, in this past hour or so.
Yeah.
We're going to dive right into this. Would you rather eat a cake that tastes like dick or suck on a dick that tastes like cake?
Oh, I'll eat the cake.
You eat the dick flavored cake?
I don't care if the cake tastes like shit, I'll eat it. All right. I mean, hey, actually, you know what? I don't know. Maybe if I've never tried sucking a penis, so maybe it's amazing. I don't know.
It really is. I'll tell you right now, it's one of the best feelings.
So I don't know. You know, maybe I never tried, so I guess I don't know. But I'm going to go with the cake because that's the one thing I know I've tried. So
we'll make you a little less vanilla before this interview is over, I guarantee you. What right, do you next. Think people notice most about you?
That I'm, I don't know, notice the most about me?
Yeah, like when you're, well, when you're relatable. When you're around people. I get that.
I'm relatable.
I get that. What adjective best describes you when you're drunk?
Silly.
What is something I wouldn't believe about you?
That I'm in my 30s, that I'm married and have three kids.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice tangent. What does your wife think about this?
Oh, at first she just thought it was silly. She just thought I was like, really? She's like, people want this stuff? And I'm like, yeah.
I would love to be here at dinner parties. Yeah, my husband just makes this.
Well, we don't tell everybody about the project, but our close circle knows about the project. But
right, and your parents,
here's the thing: a lot of people know that. I mean, I've been working in the gaming industry for years, so I'm still technically in the gaming industry. So when people ask me how's work, I'm like, still working, still doing, making games, that kind of stuff. So it's like a lot of people are just, I don't get to dwell into the details of, the Summertime Saga content. But anyway, but yeah, my wife, she thinks it's silly, She's not a big gamer, so she just thinks it's kind of weird and just silly. But she actually helps with some stuff with the project, and she's glad. Honestly, she's just glad that I'm enjoying the process, right? And I'm working on my own project and it's fun. And it's
like, that's awesome.
And I get to work from home,
That's so great. Yeah, of course.
Especially during a pandemic.
It's I know. What is the dumbest way you've ever been injured?
Oh my God. I've had so many stupid injuries. I'm thinking. I mean, I've never had like big injuries, but the dumbest? When I was a kid, I was carving a space helmet out of a cardboard box with an X-Acto knife, and the one with the breakable blades at the end of it.
Sure, yeah, I've seen those.
Yeah, it was old and rusty, and I was cutting, one of them broke, and it went straight through, and I stabbed my wrist, and I had to go get stitches. That was the dumbest.
Holy shit!
Yeah, and it was a big cut.
A rusty razor blade.
Yeah. It's just it was bad.
Oh my God!
Cutting a space helmet. Anyway, that's the dumbest one.
Did it turn out okay, the space helmet? Was it worth the injury?
Worth the blood? No, my mom threw it out.
Yeah. What's a body part that you wouldn't mind losing?
I don't know. My earlobe.
Yeah, they're kind of useless, right? They kind of dangle there.
It just dingles there. It's that or my balls, you know?
What do you do? Yeah. What can you talk about for hours?
It's a stories, like story making. Storytelling.
Yeah. Pineapple on pizza, yes or no?
Yes, for one slice, no more than that.
Oh, okay. So there's
like in small quantity is fine, but after two, I'm like, whoa,
because we get a lot of hell no, or like, yes, you food Hitler who already say I can't put this on my pizza. I like your answer. I
didn't say in small doses it's fine.
Right. What is something you believe without proof or evidence of?
That being creative is the best thing in the world. There you go.
Well, I think your game alone is proof of that, so there's ample evidence.
creativity is what drives everyone, is what I'm trying to say. But yeah.
Would you rather have the power of flight or invisibility?
That's a good question. I'm going to go ahead and say invisibility.
Right. I mean, I would assume so, because that's like, you could research so many things if no one can see you.
I wasn't even thinking in terms of lewdness, actually. I was thinking in terms of hiding. Like, I just leave me in peace.
What are you hiding from? DC.
I'm just saying like, oh, I'm going to go take a nap on this bench at a park. Just tired. Instead of looking like a weird dude sleeping. I'm just old. I'm a dad, you know. I just want to hide and just take a nap.
Can you fold a fitted sheet?
Not really.
I mean, no one can.
Yeah. My wife can do it, but every time I do it, she sighs and takes it away from me and does it properly.
Well, I think, you know, what I would do, I would just fold it poorly in front of my fiance, and he's like, give it to me.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just give it to me, you exactly. Moron.
Yeah. I relate. Yep.
Like, I can't do folding well. I'm no good at fold. All right, let's see. What was your last thought before going to bed last night?
My last thought was, oh, did I lock the car or not? No joke.
Would you rather go back to the age of 5, knowing everything you know now, or would you rather know everything your future self will learn?
I would want to know all the future self learn. Yeah, and not, I don't want to go back to 5. Here's the thing: what makes being a 5-year-old and being young great is because you experience things new, right? So right. If I went back to being 5 years old and I went through my life again, I wouldn't enjoy it as much because I've already experienced all those things that made it great, right?
That is a great answer.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of pointless. Actually, I think I'd be sad and depressed because
you're robbing yourself of your childhood, like of that, that impressionality.
Well, the thing is, like, I would go back and I would play with 5-year-olds, but I would find it boring
because
I've already played with toys my whole life. So
right.
I wouldn't find the enjoyment of it anymore. So right. I'd be stuck in a place where I'm mentally not there,
and
but
no
I
have take to force myself
to be there. It's not fun. It sucks.
Right.
It would suck, really.
It would suck.
And a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, it'd be great to go back. It's like, not if you know what you know now. It wouldn't. Mm-hmm. It would suck. You know, I'd play with my 5-year-old friends for 5 minutes, and I'd be like, can I go do something else now?
Can I get a cigarette or like a drink? Like, what's going on?
Or like, can I do something meaningful?
Right. Like,
you know, but if I knew in the future a bunch of things that it would help me now, you know, mm-hmm. I would have some wisdom that can help mm-hmm. me now, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Would you rather have one real get out of jail free card or a key that opens any door?
A get out of jail free card or a key that opens any door.
Mm-hmm.
Out of free jail card, I guess.
All right.
In case I get arrested for something.
All right. Well, then this goes into part 2 of this question. What crime did you commit that you're using your get out of jail free card on?
Oh, none. But if you know, sometimes people are convicted of things they didn't do.
Right.
So I think that's why I would keep it in my back pocket in case something like that happened.
Who's going to frame you, DC? Who's framing you for a crime? What's the crime?
I know someone personally that faced 20 years in jail that was innocent, and they were found innocent in the end, but it was really rough for them for 3 years.
They were in jail for 3 years?
No.
They went on trial for three years. Oh my
God. For something they could have done 20 years for that they were innocent of. So I know the pain and suffering of
holy going shit. Through that. What was the crime?
If I could choose one of the two, I would choose that because I don't care about opening doors.
What was the crime, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I don't want to get into details.
But okay. That's scary. That's really scary.
It was pretty scary for that person and their family.
Was it like a misunderstanding or someone tried to basically frame this on this individual?
No, it's somebody used them for something.
Wow.
That they weren't aware of.
Holy shit.
And it was something bad, really bad, obviously. And
oh my God.
They were charged for all that stuff as accomplice.
That is nuts.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And the person was totally innocent, just didn't even know that was happening.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you get into, you know, you trust people and you get into a bind and you know, you don't want to, you know.
All right. So you've experienced that. You've seen it firsthand. So that's a good, just in case someone fucks you over, you have that card.
Mm-hmm.
Choice. Would you rather have bionic arms or bionic legs?
Bionic legs, maybe? I don't know. Run super fast? I don't know. Bionic arms, what do you do with that? You just lift heavy things?
Well, listen, you could program them to draw faster.
Oh, true. I didn't look at it that way. Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. Maybe the arms then could work faster.
All right, let's see. What else can we ask you that's of interest on my list here? There's so many good things I want to ask you. All right. Oh, here we go. What's one superpower you would not want to have?
I don't know. A superpower. Anything that has to do with destroying things or, you know, like you look at like superheroes and superhero movies and it's just like the most ridiculous powers, like shooting lightning bolts. I'd be like, why? It's just stupid. It's just, you know, I don't have to fight a monster because monsters don't exist. So I think a lot of superpowers are ridiculous. But so any superpower that has to do with like laser beams, mm-hmm. lightning, fire, it's just pointless. It would probably be annoying too. Like I'd be making my toast in the morning. I would just burn it by mistake. Like,
take the whole house down with it.
Fire. Like there's so many stupid,
like, you know, honey, I killed the kids.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I killed the neighbor when I was shaking his hand. Fucking hell. Now I'm going to jail, but I got my free out of jail card.
There you go. There you go. Would you rather be a reverse centaur or a reverse merman? So it's your upper half is either a horse or it's a fish. So what would you prefer?
A horse, because I don't want to live in the ocean all of my life. There you go.
I found the water. I take it.
Well, I like it, but I want to live in water. Yeah.
If you could swim in any liquid other than water, what would it be? I'm talking like melted white chocolate, melted
other than cheese. A giant pool filled with poo, because everybody loves that.
Wait.
I don't know, man.
People love swimming in a
apple pool. Juice.
Apple juice. Is it a Martin? Is it a Martinelli's? That's the only brand you can choose when it comes to apple juice.
Apple juice, milk. I don't know anything. I'm thinking of something that's not too abrasive.
I think apple juice is a good choice.
It's probably too acidic.
You know? Yeah, I think apple juice. Like at least it's clear, you can see through it.
Yeah, like it seems safe.
If it was apple cider, I would say maybe not so much. But apple juice,
alkaline water.
Yes.
I don't know.
Would you rather have edible spaghetti hair that regrows every single night, or sweat maple syrup?
Oh, spaghetti hair. Maple syrup sweat would just suck. Just sticky all the time. Can't even wear clothes. Fuck it. I'll go with the spaghetti hair.
All right. Here we go. Here's a good way to end this. You're given the chance to work on any video game franchise you want to work on, and you can make it as sexy as possible. You can do whatever you want. You can do all the fetishes, all the glory holes, all the orifices you filled. Like, what do you choose? Like, DC, here's a pile of money. Here's the rights.
Yeah.
Where does your mind go to first?
Well, it'd have to be something popular, but something also that I enjoy. It has potential. I don't know, man. It's a good question. I don't know. Star Wars, maybe? I don't know, man. Honestly,
I
don't
even
like Star Wars that much, so I don't know why I said that. I'm thinking of something popular, you know. Maybe all the Disney characters. People will love that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm pretty sure you'll find.
Just because of all the stories and all the different characters, you know?
You know what's funny? Like,
I think in terms of potential, I don't know.
Just to give some insight to our listeners about me a little bit, I was talking to my brother the other day, just talking about our childhood. And at some point when we were kids, we would doodle pornographic Flintstones scenes. Mm-hmm. And we had a whole book of this Betty fucking Wilma and Fred catching them. It was like a whole story. Yeah. And we were just like, we were a bunch of weird, sexually depraved children that were just all hormones.
Yeah, but who isn't? I mean,
exactly.
If you weren't drawing boobs or dicks at some point when you were a child, then something went wrong.
We had like a whole story. It was like, you know, Barney had caught Wilma. Like, it was a whole thing. It was very elaborate for like a 12-year-old mind. Whew. All right.
You know the Colosseum in Rome? There's like old carvings of dicks on it from like
200,
you know.
And listen, I'm Greek. So growing up about Greek mythology, it's like it's all just dicks and wangs and orgies. Exactly. And it's all part of the culture. So
yeah, it's fine. It's great.
Yeah. It's like when you hear about like Poseidon jerking off to the ocean that and it's spawned for like five of his kids. It's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll accept that.
Yeah.
All right, DC, this is your big moment. Plug everything. Plug the game. Plug your Twitch. Plug your Twitter. Plug your Patreon. Where can we find you and Summertime Saga?
All right. Well, all you got to write is you Google Summertime Saga Patreon. You're going to find our page. We have we also have a website on there. You can see links to our Discord, to the daily stream where I stream every day, Monday to Friday. And I show you how I work on my project and what I make. And you can contact me there. You can see the Patreon supporters there and all that stuff, all that good stuff. All right. And you can see where we're going with this project, you know?
Yeah. And this is also just you listeners know, this is a free project too, mm-hmm. as well. You can get it for free, but that's definitely right. Check the Patreon out. And I think I'm like about to become a new member. Cause again, I'm obsessed with these games now. I don't know what it is. It's just once you open Pandora's box, there's no closing it back up.
Yeah. They're pretty fun.
Mm-hmm. All right, DC. Well, thank you so much for being with me this morning and talking about your game and your career and all the sexy stuff. I really appreciate it. Thank you, listeners. I'm going to leave Steven to do the old housekeeping bit for the end, but I will steal his going away line. That is, as always, please be excellent to each other and stay sexy and don't be vanilla. Do some stuff. Live a little.